Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Hear God's word to the church.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea at Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. We live in unsettled times. There are marches and riots. There are cars being driven into crowds, and it feels like we are sitting on the brink of war. And no one is talking. They're just yelling at each other in louder and louder voices. And amidst all of this chaos, the Lord our God says, "Listen to me. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Listen to me." Have you ever had that moment where you're watching a movie or you're reading a book and you get so lost or wrapped up in what is happening that you miss the timer going off on the stove and you accidentally burn what you were cooking for dinner? It is a fair statement to say that this has happened to me. I feel like this sort of obsession or engagement with things can sometimes have a dark side. We get so wrapped up in our own thoughts or feelings that before we know it, we're lost. And it can happen to us when we're reading the news or when we're watching the news. We get so tied up in what's happening, or we get tied up in the argument, that we start to lose sight of what's going on in the bigger picture. So I feel like our 24-hour news cycle sort of contributes to this. When there's a natural disaster or a traumatic event or even a political protest, it seems like no matter where you look, either on TV or in the newspapers or when you're in the coffee shop, all the conversations, it just seems like there's nothing else going on. It gets to the point where we start to go a little numb. We either check out and ignore it, or we get lost in the details and start to be consumed by it. And either way, it takes over our lives, and it takes over our thoughts and our conversations, and we get really passionate about our opinions. And then when we get frustrated, we might start to think of the person that disagrees with our position in ways that are uncharitable. I think that we have a tendency to label those that disagree with us or disagree with our opinions as wrong or fake. But I would guess that if we were honest with ourselves, we've all been guilty of that tendency at one point or another in our lives. We take comfort in being right, or at least being surrounded by people that think like us. And in doing so, we get trapped in our own bubble. And it seems like all the drama happening all around us is all-consuming. It takes over the news, it takes over our conversations, and it sets neighbor against neighbor. And yet, in the middle of all this chaos, the Lord says to us, "Listen to me. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord." This particular passage is addressed to a people that experienced great pain and disgrace in exile after losing the city of Judah to the Babylonian Empire. And God says to them, "Listen to me. Don't focus on the exile. Don't focus on the burning of Jerusalem. Don't focus on the death of King Zedekiah or even on your captivity. Listen to me and hear my promises. Even when you feel defeated and you think that I might have abandoned you, listen to me." The larger historical context of this passage is that in 539 BCE, the Persian general Cyrus the Great defeated the Babylonian armies. And this is during the time when the Jews that had been scattered during the Babylonian diaspora were being offered the opportunity to return home after this time of great despair, and it finally looked like everything was going to be all right. But it was also a time of great change and upset. And with change comes stress. And with great changes, even more stress. And I think this is true in our own lives. After all, people are creatures of habit. Good or bad, we like routine. And so when we change jobs, or remove houses, or our kids leave home, it's stressful. Change is stressful. The stories we knew to be true growing up are being challenged, and memories of places and times are being challenged, and it's stressful. Our churches are shrinking, and our neighborhoods are changing. And like the community in Isaiah, we find ourselves wondering about our direction, asking questions like, what could we have done differently? What should we have done? Where is God in all of this? And I feel like that in all of this stress, there's a lot of fear. And we can see it in the people in our Isaiah text, and we can see a lot of fear going on around us in the world right now. And we have a lot of questions, and there's a lot of discussion. And frankly, it feels a little overwhelming. And the stress of this change is causing cracks in our strong relationships, and it's dividing communities and families and friends. And yet, just like God says to the people in Isaiah, the Lord God says to us, "Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to all the peoples. Look to Abraham, your father, who bore, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. Listen to me." This "listen to me" that is repeated throughout our text isn't a request, it's an imperative. This is God speaking through Isaiah to comfort God's people, reminding them that God does, God has done, God can do, and God does do miraculous things. God, through Isaiah, is reminding us that change has happened before. And in our text, God points us back at Abraham and Sarah, our common ancestors in faith. We remember that Abraham and Sarah were barren, but God had promised them a child, and that the nations would be their descendants. And we know from the stories they had a child whose name means laughter, and that through him they birthed all the nations of Israel. Through Isaiah, we are told, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The intent of this passage, as gruesome as it seems with its language of decay, is to reinforce the idea that time belongs to God, and that God's promise of salvation is eternal. As God spoke through Isaiah, even as the heavens and earth vanish, my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. We can take comfort in God's promises to Isaiah's community, and we are invited to remember that the hope of Abraham and Sarah and the promises fulfilled are promises given to us as well. After all, these are our spiritual ancestors. And God reminds us of this, saying, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug." We are cut from the same spiritual quarry as they are. Breaking a rock does not change its chemical composition. It does not erase its foundational elements. Knowing that we are cut from the same rock as Abraham and Sarah, God is inviting us to remember their hope as we read. Their hope is our hope. While we see and experience time in a linear fashion, we need to see and to understand that the faith and hope of our ancestors flows from Abraham and Sarah to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, and down through the generations all the way to Jesus, in whom we see and experience hope and salvation from our ancestors. Understanding our spiritual history brings us back to thinking about what's going on in our world today. All the unrest, the divisions between neighbor and friend, our questions, our shrinking church, the changing landscape of our world and environment. And amidst all of this, God says to us, "Listen to me. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug." It is our call to look to the promises made to our ancestors. We can see those promises, and we can remind each other of the miracles that God has done, even when we are trapped in the midst of hopeless times. Amidst the chaos of the world, and among the divisive conversations, and the fights between friends and neighbors, God is calling us to listen to the promises of God. It is God's promise stretching from our ancestors across the generations to us here and now, in this time and in this place. And that now will inform us how we are to interact with our friends, our neighbors, and even our own history. God calls us to remember God's promises and to obey God's commandments, to learn to do good, to seek justice, to rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and to plead for the widow. And even as we live through this discontented moment, we know that the hope of our ancestors is our hope. We know that all these things will pass away, but the promises of God are eternal. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, what do we believe?
We believe that in life and in death,
we belong to God.